The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, first this morning, Brexit remains front page news in all of the main papers. And it really is a sort of a Brexit fest, if that's your thing. But the lead story in the Irish Independent, the headline is Race Against Time for Deal on Brexit. The Irish Times, lead story, Brexit talks intensify and bid to reach deal. The Financial Times, crunch Brexit talks as hopes grow for deal. And when it comes to The Guardian and The Daily Telegraph, language is all important. The Guardian says Johnson signals major U-turn on Irish border. And The Daily Telegraph says Johnson opens door to customs compromise. Of course, in political terms, a U-turn is a bad thing and a compromise is a good thing very often. Sebastian Payne of the Financial Times, he's the Whitehall correspondent and he joins me now for the latest from a London perspective. Sebastian, first of all, this move by Boris Johnson to essentially backtrack on his original, more recent proposal regarding the customs union and the backstop, has this change come about as a surprise, do you think?
I think it was quite surprising, in fact, because Boris Johnson put forward these new proposals 2 weeks ago to try and break the Brexit deadlock, and they didn't fly at all. And we heard from the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar that these were just not acceptable to him, and it very much looked as if we were heading for either a no-deal Brexit or a delayed Brexit. And then suddenly we had that meeting on the Wirral on Thursday when the pair of them met, and they spent almost 3 hours together, just one-to-one, no officials, no aides, just talking about this dilemma. And we still don't exactly know what was agreed there, but whatever it was, it does seem to have really unlocked the talks. Our suspicions seem to be that what they're looking at is that Mr. Johnson has acknowledged there cannot be customs checks on the island of Ireland, which is something that he was trying to introduce with his original plans.
I think but it's less than 2 weeks ago he used the phrase, there has to be checks.
Indeed, and the sense that we're getting is that he's actually gone back and accepted the EU position and Dublin's position, that there cannot be border checks, there needs to be another way around it. So the best guess, which is all I can really give you of what has been talked about, is that Northern Ireland will by law leave the EU's customs union, but in practice will not. And they will use this convoluted arrangement that was actually first proposed by Theresa May, called a customs partnership, to ensure there are no border checks.
Now, when that slightly more convoluted scheme was proposed under Theresa May, Boris Johnson described it as crazy and Jacob Rees-Mogg described it as completely cretinous. And I suppose when we get into the numbers game now, assuming for a moment that some kind of deal is reached in time for the 31st of October or shortly afterwards and there's a technical extension, what way, Sebastian, might the numbers go in Westminster? Let's assume for a moment that this deal is not palatable to the DUP, so there's 10 votes gone there. What way do you think the ERG members might vote, and what about the 21 Tory rebels?
So the crucial thing to note is that when Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg rubbished the idea of a customs partnership, that was a UK-wide customs partnership, whereas what appears to be cooked up now is just an arrangement for Northern Ireland, which in some ways makes more sense because it does take account for the special circumstances around the border. At the moment, the DUP are absolutely crucial because they signal to hardline Eurosceptics in the ERG whether they can back it, and the signs from both of them at the moment are ambivalent. The sense that I get from the ERG and DUP is that they're both in deal mode. They want to get a deal, they want to get this thing done, and like the rest of us, they want to get on with their lives. But the crucial, very tight landing zone Boris Johnson has to get is to get something that is acceptable to Dublin and the EU, which is no customs checks, but also acceptable to the DUP. And it's a very, very tight window there, because if he loses the DUP, he then loses at least 30 ERG MPs, which means he can't get it through. So he has to keep both of those on board. And if he does, which it looks like he's got a fighting chance at the moment, then he's got probably a pretty comfortable majority to get this thing through Parliament.
Do you think, is it certain that if he loses the DUP, he would lose all of the ERG votes? Jacob Rees-Mogg has been given this very nice job as leader of the House of Commons. It's probably a job he dreamt about having since he was about 8 or 9 years old. If the DUP say no to this deal, if a deal emerges, and he votes against this deal, he'd lose that job, whereas if he backs it, he'd bring quite a lot of the ERG with him, and there may be Labour backbenchers who would back the deal and make up the difference.
Well, the key thing to note is the ERG was split into two, that when Theresa May brought her deal forward for the third and final attempt to pass it, most of the ERG backed it, including Jacob Rees-Mogg and including Boris Johnson. But there were 30 ultra-hardline people in the ERG who called themselves the Spartans who didn't back that deal. And there's three of those currently in Boris Johnson's government, notably Priti Patel, who is the Home Secretary. But the fact is, it's those Spartans you have to get on board, and some of those that I spoke to yesterday described the DUP as the canary. So if the DUP don't sing over this, they are very unlikely to back it, because they don't want to be out-unionised. You know, they want to be seen as protectors of the union there. And you're right, yes, there are Labour MPs to make up the difference, but the difference is pretty big if you lose 30 ERG plus 10 DUP. I think getting 40 Labour MPs is a bit of an ask at the moment. So I think he does have to keep them on board to get this thing through.
Well, first of all, we have to see if there is a deal, and then we can find out how the maths work out. Sebastian Payne of the Financial Times, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.